As world leaders meet in Davos in Switzerland this week to discuss how they can deliver more inclusive economic growth, the latest Productivity Commission report here in Australia is pointing to an alarming trend: the rising number of Australians experiencing rental stress. The report reveals that 500,000 low-income Australians are struggling to pay their rent. Rental stress is when a household is paying more than 30% of its income to keep a roof over their heads. The worst affected states are Victoria and New South Wales, no surprise there, I suppose, where welfare agencies say that increasing numbers of people are being pushed into homelessness. Ben Karblis is a housing expert at Mission Australia. Ben, welcome to RM Breakfast.
Good morning, Fran.
The Productivity Commission report identifies more than 500,000 Australians suffering rental stress. That's a very big number. Is it a number that is growing, Ben?
Fran, unfortunately it is. The last census that where we got the figures, we hear that over 105,000 on any people on any given night are homeless. And that was some 6 years ago, and I would not be surprised when we get the figures soon from the latest census that those numbers will be significantly higher. Our services are certainly reporting that there are increasing numbers that they are supporting, and the problem isn't getting any better. In fact, it is actually getting worse.
In fact, that number of around 100,000 people sleeping rough, I mean, that's a number that was identified many, many years ago, decades ago, when we did our first count on homelessness. So I have a sense that we can't really count the true number of people on couches or sleeping in their cars, or we don't really have a sense of that. And it would be obvious that it is growing because the rents in some of the capital cities are just skyrocketing.
Yeah, well, the cost of living is incredibly expensive. I mean, there is not much change after someone has paid their rent in the capital cities. And when there is that small amount of, disposable income, the challenges of actually being able to maintain somebody's livelihood is incredibly challenging. We'll see a mum with their children who would have to give up buying their children shoes for school. I mean, school is just about to happen. They'll be having to make decisions. Do I use this little amount of money left to put food on the table, or do I get those shoes for school? And when you find yourself in those situations, other pressures come in. You have the battle of the mind, the mental health issues, the fractures that actually happen in families as well can really generate a bit of a downward spiral for people, and people can find themselves in different areas of stress, addictions or what have you, and unfortunately find themselves on the streets.
And then what happens? Then we have homelessness services. I mean, the answer to this presumably is, I don't know that there'll be some kind of intervention in the market to force down rents. That's going to be left to the market. And at the moment, even though we have negative gearing and other tax concessions and we have more construction of apartments, the rents don't seem to be coming down in a city like Sydney. Is the answer more social housing? And if so, at what cost? The government already spends almost $4 billion last year on social housing.
Yeah, no, it's not cheap, but more supply is certainly going to help to drive down the price of the cost of living for rent. But what we've learned is that the cost of not supporting people with a home is far greater. So our studies that we've done at Mission Australia, and there have been other studies, is that when you're able to put somebody in a place of accommodation where they feel safe, the cost to support that individual is far less. Because the challenges of helping somebody that is in a moment of crisis, where their addictions may have set in or issues of mental health have started to build, there can be crime, a range of different issues, becomes far greater than if we're able to put somebody in accommodation. So to support people up front with rental support, more supply obviously would be great, but that's expensive, would really make it a cheaper option for the government, and of course support those people in need to actually have a life that they can be proud of.
Government policies, they've been changing. The emphasis has been less on governments owning public housing. They've been getting out of that. In fact, I think the public housing stock owned by governments halved. But that's been transferred to what's called social housing and community housing. Is this are we heading in the right direction with our policies?
I think so. I mean, community housing providers, I mean, we're a community housing provider, and with the services that we provide, we also provide a level of community services. And so when someone finds themselves in a housing, the supports that they can have to connect them in the right areas of service, whether that is connecting in different groups or church groups, or whether that's in employment, and connecting in the community, meeting with people that could talk through their issues and maybe work through their addictions that they may have, for example, can have a profound impact on the lives of those people and find themselves in an area where they can sustain their tenancy and move on to their own affordable housing. So being able to provide that to that service to organisations that can provide that wraparound support can really make a profound difference. So I do believe the government is heading in the right direction there.
You're listening to RN Breakfast. It's coming up towards 7 o'clock. Our guest is Ben Karblis, housing expert at Mission Australia. But the statistic, the lead statistic from the Productivity Commission report is that across the country, 30% of clients with an identified need for accommodation did not have that need met in 2016-17, and that's up from 22% in 2012-2013. I guess that paints the picture there that, you know, we can muse about it, but the evidence suggests that the need is increasing. Things are getting worse. What is happening to all these people?
Well, it's... I guess the answer really is to prevent people getting there in the first place, Fran, and we put a real emphasis on early intervention to get early assessment to find where we can support these people and give them the services that they need before they find themselves in this moment of crisis. But when they do find them in this moment of crisis, the solution for them is different. Every person finds themselves there for a different reason, whether it's family,
Ben,
domestic violence.
And Ben, in your experience, is the profile of who's finding themselves in this situation changing?
Well, there is an increase of people, unfortunately, facing family domestic violence. I mean, that is certainly on the increase. But the number one issue is, as you've put it, Fran, it's the cost of living. Rental stress continues to be the number one issue where people do find themselves homeless. But there are increases in the areas of family and domestic violence, certainly. The family breakdown. We're also finding an increased number of young people on the streets as well. A growing demographic is actually the older women who often find themselves in a situation where they haven't built up the superannuation that they may have if they're working, and a marriage breakdown or something could happen in that situation and they don't have the supports they need. So there's a range of different demographics, and each person needs a different level of support to find their way back home.
All right. Ben Karblis, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Fran.
Ben Karblis is a housing expert at Mission Australia, and these statistics came out of a Productivity Commission report, which is, in a sense, just putting stats to what is already obvious at the rental market in some of our major cities where house prices have gone through the roof. Rental markets, too, are sky high.